Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Good, Jimmy. I'm doing good. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad. Got hot weather broke. We are now got some storms, went through that, some cooling off weather.
That wasn't hot. That was like stupid August hot for like 3 days. It was 100 degrees on Monday. 100.
Andy, I spend the winter complaining about the cold.
I love it.
That disallows me from complaining about the hot weather. Pick one. You could bitch about one, but not about both. So no, I'm going to complain about the cold.
I'm good with 100 every day. Just don't go 100, 160.
Exactly. Anyway, hey, let's get back to some college football, Penn State specifically. You know, sure. Andy, a week ago, we talked about the forgotten group, which is the returning Penn State football players.
You call them the forgotten group, Jimmy, so name yourself as that. I didn't forget them. You're saying forgotten group. They are not. You forgot about them. Because you love the Iowa State guys. You love the new beach balls. They got a little glitter on them.
No, that's not quite true, Andy. I'm the guy who said we got to talk about that. There's real talent coming back with the returning Penn State players. So
on defense, yes. On defense, mostly, yes.
But, hey, we can't ignore the large group of players, the significant in quantity and quality coming from Iowa State.
Right. This offense is going to be Iowa State East for sure, Jimmy. That's exactly what it's going to be. There's a very little sprinkle here and there of like Penn State players that are known. The entire right side of the line might be it. That's it of the offensive line. But let me clarify that. I think every skill position has the potential to be dominated by Iowa State transfers. I do. Every skill position. Running back, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, it could all end up being dominated and mostly fueled by Iowa State players. They are, in my opinion, at the top of the food chain in every single one of those positions, at least one, sometimes two or two players there. So it is going to be a very, very heavy Iowa State defense. And I think the second two layers of the defense will have some up the middle of the field. Will have some serious Iowa State influence as well. But on the offense, I think every skill position could be dominated. And for Penn State in 2026, has the potential to be dominated by Iowa State transfers, 100%.
And that's what we're going to take a look at today. But here's what I do think is missed in this conversation often about this 2026 Penn State football team is the narrative is, oh my goodness, it was completely changed over and mostly changed over with Iowa State players. But I think the missing element has been there was going to be a huge changeover no matter what. Because
they fired their coach.
Well, no.
Anyway, with the Penn State player roster from 25 to 26, this was going to happen anyway.
Yes. If you look at the number of players who were out of eligibility, if we look at the list of Penn State players either drafted or signing undrafted free agent contracts in the NFL, essentially four-fifths of your offensive line gone. Starting tight end, Khalil Dinkins, I know there's more depth there, gone. Both star running backs, gone. Quarterback, Drew Aller, gone. I know some might say better off without these wide receivers, but they were going to be gone anyway. Three of them signed as undrafted free agents. On the defensive side of the ball, your star defensive end. Deny Dennis Sutton, gone. Zane Durant, your star tackle, gone. Dom DeLuca, starting linebacker. Zakee Wheatley, star safety. Heck, Andy, even your long snapper signed a free agent contract in the NFL. So whether James Franklin was leaving or not, there was going to be a huge changeover in this roster anyway.
Yeah, it was going to be a year of changeover. The changeover came via different. It wasn't a recruiting class and recruited players and Penn State players that they knew about and the addition of some transfer portal players, which James would have done. He'd have had a full 26 class with say two or three potential players in there, right? Guys who are going to contribute. He would have had the back end and the front end of the last two recruiting classes as well, right? You wouldn't have had 30 some players transferring, right? It would have been a full roster, but the transition, in other words, the transition's all the same because at the top of it, at the number one positions, it was kind of going to always be the same number, right? It was always kind of going to look like this. It just would have been with recruited and with some transfer portal talent sprinkled in, but it would have been more Penn State players in style. Instead, it's a new coach and a lot of Iowa State. I don't think it's any more or less transition this year than was going to happen anyway. When it comes to the football roster, right? The roster itself, it's just how it's built now is different. I think the numbers would have been kind of the same.
Right, and that's my point. This was going to be a transition season.
Right.
You would have had, you know, if you go with your starting 22, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, I think a majority of those players were gone. They were out of eligibility.
Your primary 22 was 15.
So you were going to replace them either with the next level coming up of Penn State players, unknowns. By that unknown, I mean we didn't know what their ceiling would be, what they would become. And as opposed to, we brought in a good number of Iowa State starters. So I think the transition is sometimes labeled as a real downgrade. These are these Iowa State three-star players as opposed to Penn State four-star players who all left. And I think that's a fallacy because they were going to need to replace a lot of guys anyway, Andy.
The only difference is this is a more stable floor with a lower ceiling.
Probably yeah, so.
That's the best way to put it. The Penn State, if you'd have been all Penn State players, you would have had a much less stable floor and probably a little higher ceiling.
And I think also, Andy, as we go through this position by position with the players coming in from Iowa State, what we'll also see is in positions where you had a strong group of Iowa State players coming in the exact positions where you had very talented Penn State players leaving. Let's start with the quarterback position, of course, which is the perfect example of, I think Penn State fans would have loved to have had Ethan Grunkmeyer back, Andy. I think he showed a lot in the back half of the season when he took over for an injured Drew Aller. But that was not in the cards. As soon as you're bringing Matt Campbell, you're bringing Rocco Beck with you, and that's the end of Ethan Grunkmeyer's Penn State career.
Yeah, at Virginia Tech now, the talk is Ethan Grunkmeyer's an it kid. I'm like, child, please, come on. You can't tell. That's just coach speaking. That's BS. So he was a very good quarterback. This guy's better. Rocco's next start, or his first, let's say this. I'm going to have a theme today. His first start for Penn State will be the 40th college game of his career as an FBS quarterback. Not 14, Jimmy. 40. So his record's 26-13. Not that bad, right? Not great. Nothing outside the box. Just it's good. So you can expect him to play at a level that's going to help you win 7 or 8 games this season. That is a realistic expectation for him as a quarterback and this Penn State. If you expect anything more than that, I don't think that's realistic to start out. And, yeah, I know the schedule's easy, but if you think based on his who he is, what kind of quarterback he is, it's delusional to think that he's anything more than exactly what he is. He's 26-13. He'll help you win 7-8 games. He's going to need more help from the guys around him to be a little bit next level better, but you can guarantee that after as he starts his goes in and starts his 40th game, he will do his part and he will do it well. He knows the offense of Coach Mauser. He knows that it's a run-first scheme, right? That they utilize multi-packages and they go at various different speeds and tempos. Also, he can take shots down the field to put stress on a defense. He knows how to do that and make it operate. So that's who he is. I think overall, in the characteristic of higher ceiling, blah, 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 I think Penn State's better off with Rocco as a quarterback in 2026 than they would have been with Ethan Grunkmeyer in 2026. My 2 cents. There you go, Jimmy.
I think that's exactly the way Matt Campbell looked at it also. And for those who might say Ethan Grunkmeyer would have been the better answer in 27 and 28, he's more of a long-term answer. I think in the comparison, you got to call this, it was a trade off of Ethan Grunkmeyer for Rocco Beck and Alex Manske. And Manske was in 25, he was Iowa State's version of Ethan Grunkmeyer.
Correct.
You know, a young player, highly thought of, highly regarded, but obviously going to be sitting behind Rocco Beck.
Yeah, but not many guys transfer to sit at the quarterback position, Jimmy. So this kid might be, you know, he has to be something special, and he also has to like this coaching staff and offense because he's sitting.
Right. That's a great point. We don't have to look further than Ethan Grunkmeyer. He was not, and I do not blame him for not wanting to sit a year behind Rocco Beck. So, as I said, it's the combination of Rocco Beck and Alex Manske versus having Ethan Grunkmeyer that I think makes it a no-brainer, good trade-off by the coaching staff. All right, Andy, we got through the quarterbacks. A lot more to get through. We'll do that when we come back right after this message.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first-of-its-kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're taking a look at those Iowa State transfers coming into Penn State for the 2026 season. Andy, we kind of laid the groundwork in quarter one. We talked about the quarterbacks. Let's hit the running back position. No doubt, you don't lose Catron Allen and Nick Singleton without having a complete and total reset. Part of that reset, and just part of it, is Carson Hansen coming in from Iowa State.
Yeah, it's a three-prong reset at that position. Carson Hansen and – sorry, you're going to detect the theme here, Jimmy, and everybody else up there. The first game Carson Hansen plays for Penn State will be the 39th game of his collegiate career. So I love his yards per carry overall for his career, 5.0, just shy of 5.0, like 4.9. Very respectable. He'll clear 2,000 career yards this season, right? A big concern for me about him was last season with his you know, he could carry a load, 188 carries. That's a good load as an RB1, right? But only six rushing touchdowns. That's not very good. So he did finish strong a year ago with five straight 100-plus yards. Just know this. He will figure very prominently, very, very prominently in the 2026 Nittany Lions ISU East offense. That's what I'm calling it. The 26 Nittany Lions ISU East offense, he will figure prominently in it, and he will play a significant role. And it is a three-pronged rebuild, not rebuild, retool at that position. He's only one piece. He's the Iowa State piece, and he will figure prominently.
Yes, and I know we're talking Iowa State players, but it's worth mentioning James Peoples coming in from Ohio State also. It's worth mentioning at this point Quentin Martin sticking around as a Penn Stater. But I want to pat you on the back, Andy, for your experience theme, because I think it's truly accurate, and it's one of those things that we've seen over the last couple of years, the success of experienced teams, and especially at that quarterback position. Yep. You talked about Rocco Beck, 26-13, whatever. You know, what was Fernando Mendoza's record when he was at Cal?
Right, nothing spectacular.
Right, and please, I'm not saying Rocco Beck is going to be winning a Heisman Trophy. I'm just saying that experience, though, is such a valuable asset, especially at the quarterback position. Let's stay at the skill positions. And Andy, we're going to go to your favorite position. Favorite position for Andy Shea, the wide receivers. They swept the top three receivers out. They all moved on out of eligibility. The good news is, Andy, very experienced players, productive players coming from Iowa State with Chase Soule and Brett Eskelson.
Yeah, Chase, I don't think Chase is productive. You can say that. I don't think he is. I just think he's a decent college wide receiver. Penn State's his fourth school, Colorado, East Carolina, Iowa State. So he's been around. But going back, he's never had more than 700 yards in a season. But relatively speaking, I will say I don't see him as a quote-unquote productive receiver. I see him, but by Penn State standards, he's a productive receiver. So of the last 3 to 4 years, he's never had more than 700 yards in a season. But look, the first game he plays for Penn State will be the 37th game of his collegiate career. That matters. So I don't think he's an exceptional route runner. I think he's going to struggle a little bit in the Big Ten at that early on. I do know he's got great hands, and he's really good when he catches the ball. You know, he's not like a huge run after catch guy, but he's solid, very solid. That's his hidden strength, I think, is he's very good after the catch. But he's got experience, knows the offense, will be his second full year in the offense. That's going to matter. So I think at least Penn State has a solid option at receiver in Chase.
Well, I think what you mentioned, never having 700 yards, I think what you had in looking at Iowa State's offense, you had three different guys with 30 or more catches and one more with 26 catches last year. And what do all four of those players have in common? They'll all be suiting up for the Nittany Lions this year.
So the one thing is, the Big 12 defense, they don't play good defense in the Big 12. And that's going to be something that'll be a measuring stick for this, you know, Iowa State, you know, Nittany Lions offense. It's going to be Iowa State East. They do play defense in the Big 10, and they play it very well. So how this offense moves and shuffles, and I think the experience is going to help all of these guys greatly. I'm going to keep talking about experience today. I think that's a huge factor for Penn State. It's just going to have to function at a higher level, and they've got enough salt and pepper to start with to make that work.
One of the things, though, I think to be careful with, Andy, is I read an article just a couple days ago, someone talking about, gee, are they going to transfer a Big 12 offense here to Penn State and play the Big 12? Iowa State did not play the stereotypical Big 12 offense.
They did not.
It was probably more of a Big 10 style of offense. So I think that's important to point out.
Correct.
Also, at wide receiver, if we're, you know, we're naming the Iowa State players coming in, not just the two veterans, Trey Soles and Brett Eskelson, but two youngsters, two redshirt freshmen, Ron Brookins, 6'5", kind of like that size, Andy, and Zay Robinson, a potential very exciting player. They both had, by all reports, a very good spring. So they may not be
6'5", guys. You'd love 6'5".
I do. But it may not be just about this year with the Iowa State wide receivers, but there's also a potential future there.
Correct. And I think they have an upside guy here. I think Brett, he's a small guy, right? I think he's the upside guy, right? Last year was basically his first year, right? Although he did play, you know, his first year. He's played 25 college games, but last year he was a regular wide receiver a year ago. 17.5 yards a catch, which I really like. And he catches a touchdown every 6 receptions. That's a sneaky number, Jimmy, right? That's a sneaky number. I just want to drop it in there. I think he's the guy that when I watch these guys on film, I'm like, okay, that guy's got a little bit of salt and pepper to go to the next level. So I do think they brought in what they knew at wide receiver and what they knew would help them this year and potentially help them set the table going forward. They did this position very well.
And Eskelson is actually just a junior, so he could be a two-year guy there. So I think they brought in a lot of talent from Iowa State at that position. And my hope is, you know, again, wide receiver this year is going to be different. Hopefully it will be, Andy. But while we're talking about receivers, I mentioned how, you know, the four top receivers and catches were split up pretty well among Eskelson, Soule, and a couple of the tight ends, specifically Ben Brommer. Again, you want to talk about, I like those long guys. He's 6'7", 250 pounds, Andy. I really like this guy, like his potential, love his size. And oh, by the way, also Gabe Burkle is coming over. He's only 6'6", 250, Andy. But these are guys also. Burkle had 26 receptions last year. And let me see, Brommer, he had 37 catches. So between them, you have over, what is it? Do my math, over 60 catches from the tight end position coming in to town.
So I'm going to stick with my theme and I'll talk about Ben first. You get enamored with the size. His first game for Penn State will be his 34th collegiate game. I think this is too important not to. Jimmy, he's a good tight end. There's nothing great about him. There literally is not a single thing that's great about him or next level. Nothing. There's nothing standout about him. He's just pretty darn good, Jimmy. I think that's what's wrong with that. Does that, not everyone has to be, you know, Pat Freiermuth or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Brenton Strange or Mike Kosicki. Does everyone have to be that? No. There is nothing near or anything relatively close about this kid to any of those tight ends, but he is very good at his job. You'll take that for a guy who has 34 starts.
And
34 games.
Again, this is going to be a group position here. It's not going to be just the one guy, Andy. It's going to be Brommer, Burkle, and a guy by the name of Andrew Rapelier, who's coming back. Again, I think this is another position where Penn State didn't lose talent to the transfer portal.
They did.
But they replaced that talent very well with Iowa State guys.
Like the running back, it's three guys. The running back room is going to be a three-player. It's going to be a three-prong attack. I truly believe that the tight end position will also be a three-player attack rotation based on each one of them strength, skills, and the ability to package them together. That's just it just looks like it fits for the, you know, if you look around and look at the pieces of what Coach Mauser does, and then you look at the personnel they've assembled, they fit for that to happen.
Yeah. And Andy, you know, I mentioned that wide receiver, a couple young guys coming from Iowa State. Again, yeah. You got another young guy coming along also in Cooper Alexander, 6'4", 243. He's got 3 years of eligibility left, has shown promise already, Andy. So there's both a present and a future with what they brought from Iowa State at that position.
Yeah, and they're recruiting it hard and well, I think, is also. I think they're outwardly, in their first recruiting attempts, I think it's a position they've identified as a staff that is important for them.
And also, I think Penn State has become tight end U, okay?
Really? Over
yes.
Running back?
Yes. Really? Well,
come on, Jimmy Holt. Hang with me here.
I'm hedging my bet. But I forget other positions. Forget linebacker. Forget running back.
Come on.
Give me the list over the last 10 years, the tight ends that have come out of Penn State, Andy.
Kosicki, Pat Freiermuth, Brenton Strange, Warren.
Tyler Warren, thank you.
That's four. There's 10 years worth or so, Jimmy.
But here's what also, Andy, Iowa State also has been kind of a tight end U, and it doesn't hurt that the offensive coordinator is also the tight end coach. All right, that's it for quarter two. Ask Andy coming up next.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We call it Ask Andy. And what do we get with this, Andy?
We get your questions, my answers, and Jimmy's unwelcome input.
Exactly. It's a formula that works, Andy, and we're not going to change it. Not going to change it one bit, one iota. All right. You said the theme of our show, talking about the Iowa State players coming in, was experience. Guess what? We have a theme.
Took us. Yes.
We have a theme for Ask Andy.
Ooh, nice. I'm excited.
And here's the theme. We're going after Andy. Okay?
Oh, good. Let's go.
Let's get to those questions right away. Gary from Erie says, hey, Andy, I think you are too rough on Drew Aller. Seeing how the Steelers are reworking his fundamentals from square one, Terry Smith talked about how the Penn State offensive scheme was not designed for him, and the fact that none of his wide receivers were drafted, are you willing to give him a little bit of slack for his Penn State performance?
So I love the way Drew Aller played quarterback. I just don't think he was put in a position to be a successful quarterback, and I don't know how broken he is as he goes to the NFL, right? Is he beyond repair? We know Christian Hackenberg was, right? I think the two are very similar. I think the way James mishandled an elite quarterback and the way Andy Kotelnicki tragically coordinated this offense in year two, this past season for him, tragic coordination on behalf of the quarterback position. I don't know if he can make it across the finish line, but I know I love the fact that, well, look, he has all the arm talent, the God-given arm talent any quarterback could ever want. He has all of it. I loved his next level more than willing and able. He proved himself and worked himself to be able, a runner. Here's the thing. The bigger the stage, the brighter the lights, the smaller he played. That is problematic in the NFL because you just don't have bright lights games or bright lights half. You have bright lights every single quarter, right? Like, everybody's good in the NFL. When he had to be good, he generally, more often than not, played his absolute worst. So, you know, can he overcome that? That is my heart on him at the NFL. It's strictly football. I thought he was a whiny crybaby, but that, as you have now learned, Sunday morning quarterback was a byproduct of his frustration being asked to fit him, the quarterback, a square peg into a round hole. That's what they tried to do. They so underutilized his strength and abilities as a quarterback. They never gave him the keys to let him flourish. Give him the keys and let him fail. They failed him by not doing that.
Andy, I agree with most everything you said. My one disagreement with, and I understand they lost big games, okay? And he didn't have his moment where he won the game for them. But with that said, I think he was just mistake prone, you know, whether it was poor footwork, just something that went on. But I don't think it mattered how big or small the stage was. What I mean is, it's not like, oh, he's just accumulating stats against the bad teams. He made mistakes. Remember how unimpressive he was in the out-of-conference games where they were playing nobodies? I think there's just those tendencies to make mistakes. But he also came up pretty big in some games. Down a lot to USC, the comeback against Wisconsin. He did some even against Oregon, where he ultimately made the mistake, Andy. They were down 2 touchdowns in the second half, and he drove them down the field. And I think one of the common themes of where he succeeds is when they do exactly what you talked about. They let Drew be Drew. When they would run their 2-minute offense, like at the end of the first half, he succeeded.
You're cherry picking, Jimmy. Generally speaking,
I think you're cherry picking with the mistakes.
Jimmy, come on. He was the worst player on the football field in the college football playoff semifinal.
Andy, the Ohio State game where he played well. Andy, hold on. He made mistakes, but I don't think it was, he couldn't handle the heat of a big game. I think those mistakes were a common theme through his career and kept him from being a good quarterback.
I never saw him as a mistake-prone quarterback.
You said he would shrink in the big game. So
yeah, his overall snap one to snap 111. He didn't play well.
Let's move on, Andy, or we'll spend the whole segment on one question. Let's go to Mark in Wilmington. Andy, I get that you have been unimpressed with the wide receiver room the last couple years, and deservedly so. But with a new head coach, new coordinator, new position coach, and an almost complete changeover in personnel, doesn't this group deserve at least a wait-and-see approach?
Yeah, you're not wrong, Mark. You're 100% right. But you've done the wait-and-see approach a couple, 2-3 times, right, as Penn State fans. And somehow you seem to be a little more disappointed at the attempts to fix it. This is new. Right. Plus, I think they've got their guys that have already played in this offense. They're guys that already have played with this quarterback. There's about 6 things that are different that give them a chance to at least raise the bar. Right. I do think the wide receivers will not be part of any problem for this team offensively. Like, you won't be able to go when you dig down a nitpick and go, how come they're, if they're struggling to score points, like at, say, 28 to 33 points a game, what's keeping them back from that? I don't think you're going to identify the receivers as, like, sole problem, right? Like, it could be a combination of things. I think they're going to be better. I think they have the chance to be better. I think they have at least a little bit more upside, but more than anything else, and Jimmy's liking the theme, they know what they're doing because they've been around the block, and they've been around the block in this neighborhood running this offense. That matters more than anything.
And where I agree with Mark, and I think the point he's making is, this is a completely independent event from what has happened the last couple years. There is nothing that stayed the same. The head coach specifically is gone. Coordinator's gone. Different quarterback. Everything is different. All right. Speaking of quarterback, Jack in Monroeville says, Andy, Jim often talks of the value of the quarterback. With that in mind, what is your confidence level in Rocco Beck?
7 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. He's going to be exactly what you need him, want him, and expect him to be. If you think Rocco Beck's a guy that's going to complete, if you're down 2 touchdowns and he's going to complete 13 or 14 passes for 216 yards and 3 touchdowns in the second half to win you a football game, that's not his strength. Could he possibly do that? Of course, any player could. But you know what I mean? Like, that's not what is in his wheelhouse. So I think there is some safety and huge upside value of him being exactly what you expect him to be. And my confidence in him is 7.5 out of 10, which I think is pretty high. I like him. I like his game. I like the fact that he understands and knows exactly who he is and what he's capable of as a quarterback. And when he doesn't try, he understands that his arm talent isn't exactly what some other quarterbacks might be, but he doesn't put it out there and try and make it something that it's not. I love that more, probably more than anything about him, is that he has a full understanding of exactly who he is to be the best college football quarterback he can be. I love that about him more than anything.
And I like this story. I don't know if it was Matt Campbell or Tyler Mauser, the offensive coordinator, who talked about, you know, describing Rocco Beck as a quarterback. And they pointed to a game, I think it was against Central Florida, where he was playing poorly, threw 2 interceptions. One of them was a pick 6. And then with the team down, multiple touchdowns, he essentially put the team on his back. Correct. And when they went to score the game-winning touchdown, they're inside the 10. They weren't taking the ball out of Rocco Beck's hands. He will find a way to get into the end zone, and he did that. In that way, I think a little bit of Michael Robinson at Penn State. He's not the same style quarterback, but Michael Robinson was not a guy who was going to be drafted as a quarterback in the NFL. But that didn't mean he couldn't be a really good college quarterback. And I think he's a guy who will come up big.
He will.
In big moments. And I think that's what we're going to get with Rocco Beck. Let's hit Bill in Millersburg, who says, last week I asked about Penn State's record for this coming year, and Jim mentioned that the over-under was 9.5 games won. Have you seen that FanDuel has changed their over-under for number of wins from 9.5 to 8.5? Your thoughts, Andy?
More realistic. If you got the early 9.5 number in the under, good for you. I think 8.5 is a more realistic number. I really do. I think based on the talent that they have, the number of top 100 players in the country that they don't have, I know their schedule. What's wrong with 8-4, 9-3? Why is that unrealistic?
In fact, Andy, you brought up a great point. If you bet the under on the 9.5, I say race out and bet the over on the 8.5, because I think the absolute most likely end result for this team is 9 wins. I think 9-3 is realistic, and I think if you're able to bet that under 9.5 and over 8.5, Andy, you got a real shot at 9 wins.
I'm 1 below you on each scale. I'm 8-4, and 9-3 is above the board. And 7-5 is underperforming a little bit.
That's which, by the way, you saying 8, me saying 9, really makes 8.5 the right number.
8.5 is a better number. I agree 100%.
All right, Andy, I don't think we have time for another question, but I could give you the question, but you'd have about 5 seconds to answer it, and that's not fair. I will not do that. So All right, that is it for Ask Andy in quarter number three. When we come back, we'll get back to our Iowa State transfer portal players. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking, Andy, about the Iowa State players who have transferred in. Last week we talked about the returning Penn State players. Thought it was only fair to talk about the Iowa State players. We hit mostly the offense, which, Andy, you've called this is going to be Ames, Iowa East on offense. And I pretty much agree with you. The wide receivers, the quarterback, the running back, the tight ends, pretty much dominated by Iowa State players, Iowa State transfers. The offensive line, very early in the show, you mentioned the right side being the returners, Anthony Donka, Cooper could Cousins be. From Penn State.
A recruited left tackle could play there, incoming freshman recruit.
Yes.
Tackle, a Penn State kid, yeah.
It looks like it. It looks like probably a transfer, the Texas State kid at center, along with Dom Rooley. But it looks like right now, if you're going to get a starting left guard, he's a transfer, Trevor Burr from Iowa State.
He's played 21 games the last two seasons.
So wait a minute. Wait, are you telling me he has experience, Andy?
He has experience. Mm-hmm. He started all 12 games a year ago. Experience as a starter. Penn State has an opening at the guard position. He didn't transfer to fight for his job. He didn't transfer to take more NIL money and fight for his job. He is a starting guard for Penn State in 2026. He's a guy that he just moved his office to a new zip code and came along for the ride. He is a O-line one, starter, the second. He inked his NIL deal and signed his transfer portal papers to come to Penn State. He is a starting guard for them. End of story. And he's, like I said, 12 games of starting experience a year ago, 21 games overall. Fits the theme of the numbers of the guys they brought over from Iowa State. Looking at the top level places they need to replace.
And also, Andy, just to add in, not to get into detail with it, but they also brought in several redshirt freshmen from Iowa State with some potential, maybe a future. And I think what you have there, though, is the situation. The position coach came over from Iowa State. Yep. When you do that, there's a very good chance you're going to bring some of the players, not just the obvious ones, not just those starters, but those guys who are young, who very much probably matriculated to Iowa State because of the guy who was the offensive line coach, and that's why they're following him over here. All right, Andy, how about we get to the other side of the ball on the defensive side? Let's start the position that you love so much, which is linebacker. Yeah. And a couple real solid players in Caleb Bacon and Cooper Abel are coming over, and we're going to be talking about some defensive backs also, but the interesting number to me, Andy, is the top three or four tacklers on the Iowa State football team are coming over to Penn State, including these two guys. Bacon with 68 tackles last year, Abel with 77 tackles.
Jimmy, I didn't even bother looking up these two linebackers' game plates number because I don't care. They are two perfectly comfortable, confident linebackers in their own skin. They are seasoned. They've been around They're veterans. Combined, they had almost 150 tackles last year, so they're tackling machines. They can play the game east-west. They can play the game north-south. You can mix them and match them however you want. You can put one on the line of scrimmage and tell him to put his hand in the ground and play on the edge like that. They can do a little bit of anything. They are the turnkey of this defense because they're going to be the anchors, Jimmy. They are going to be the ones that are. One of them will probably be the captain and have the green button. They're going to set the tone, the tenor, the temperature, and they know exactly how to do it. This is a new defensive coordinator, mind you, that they're playing for. They don't care one bit. They are the kind of players that are so comfortable and confident in their own skin that they know exactly what they got to do to fit whatever they're being asked to do. They are just exactly the hole that Penn State was going to have on defense. They filled it with two guys that are uber seasoned, uber experienced, and oh, by the way, they're just a couple of freaking tackling machines. That's all you need to know.
Well, I did a little bit of that checking, Andy, their history. One of them has 36 games under his belt. The other has 34. So, yes, they fit your team. 70 games
played between them. There you go.
And I think it needs to be pointed out, their previous season number of tackles were 60 and 69, again, to hit their tackling machines.
They are tackling machines, Jimmy.
And with Bacon, we're actually going back 2 years for that number because he missed the previous season. So what you have there, Andy, are experienced players, tackling machines, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly what they needed in this hole. And they're the two guys that if he's healthy and whole, they're going to unlock.
Tony Rojas.
They're going to unlock Tony Rojas as a freewheeling go be an athletic freak stud linebacker because they got your back.
And I think this is the example here, Andy, and I don't want to spend too much time on this fact, but I think it's important. This was an area where they brought back Tony Rojas. They didn't bring back Amari Campbell. Okay.
But that's again, these two guys are coming.
Right. And, you know, Amari Campbell used the phrase, he wasn't appreciated. That's why he's not coming back.
These two guys
What's the translation for not appreciated, Andy?
I was shown the door. I was shown the front door and the screen door in front of the front door.
Yeah. Well, it means somebody else is willing to pay him more money. And I think you and I have discussed this. I know I've talked about it on this show. Some of these guys that it sounded to me, Amari Campbell, in my mind, was chasing money. I didn't have any, you know, do I know what he's making at Tennessee? No, I do not. But that phrase, he's not appreciated. Chaz Coleman seemed like he was ticketed for Ohio State. Ohio State thought they had him. And out of nowhere, Tennessee ends up with him. It must mean, in my mind, Tennessee came up with the money. Only reason why I bring this up, Andy, I don't know if you saw this. I think it was Athlon Sports this past week. They do an article every year where they talk about teams within the conference by going to other coaches within the conference. And one of the things one of these coaches for another team said about Penn State, Tennessee overpaid for the talent that went there. And I don't think that comes as a surprise to us.
Correct. No, I agree. 100%. And these two guys are really good.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if you've got guys coming in who are really good.
These two guys are both better.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right. Let's move off to another position we both like, which is safety and defensive backs.
Very different.
Very good experienced guys in Marcus Neal, Jameson Patton, and Jeremiah Cooper, who, by the way, not as experienced because he got hurt after four games.
Yeah, up an injury season.
Yes.
Good guy, good player, but right. He's now injury. He's got injury issues.
He's coming off the injury. That's the case where, if healthy, now he's the guy who has played both safety and cornerback. So I use the DBs. But here's the number I'll throw out to you, and I know you like Marcus Neal. 77 tackles from the safety position, Andy.
His first start at Penn State will be the 26th game of his career. In his third season. This will be his third season playing college football. So I think a year ago, the way he played lands him as an NFL prospect in my book. Might be the most viable NFL prospect that's an Iowa State guy on the roster. Let's think about that for a sec. Right, the 77 tackles. Jimmy, 11 TFLs, a sack, 2 INTs as well. Solid number. I think, in my opinion, he's the most valuable transfer Penn State garnered from Iowa State. That's just my two cents. The most valuable player that they got to transfer is him. He is an NFL prospect. And I think Jamison Patton will be a starter well. Like the cornerback position and then the jack-of-all-trades, Zion Tracy, they're Penn State guys. The safety position is going to be the Iowa State guys. This is his last year's eligibility, but his first start for Penn State will be the 35th game of his career, Jimmy. He's good. There's nothing greater next level about him, right? 3 years, he's got like 80 tackles, 4 picks. Solid, solid. They're thin at the position, returning Penn State players and recruits on the front. There's a guy that's got 34 games of experience and nearly 80 career tackles. Yeah, wow. Did we fill that position well? We got a stud and a solid player and a potential player coming off injury. But I think in my book, it's Neal and Patton are the guys that start as the safety combo for Penn State. And what are you looking at, Jimmy? 61 combined games played between them when they take the field at Penn State in a Penn State uniform for the first time. 61 and 62 combined games now. Nothing wrong with that.
And to me also, it hits another one of these themes for the show, which is where Penn State lost talent at specific positions. And they did lose.
Significant.
Yeah, besides the Key Wheatley, the transfers, DeJuan Lane, King Mack, safeties,
ton of talent,
who you would have expected to step up and be the guys, they were able to replace it. Now, I think there are positions where they just plain said, look, I've got the talent coming from Iowa State. I don't need to overpay to keep Penn State players here. But I think this is one, they lost talent, they brought in talent.
Yeah, I think they maybe had to pay a little bit more. They might have had to pay a little bit more at this position, Jimmy. Safety might have been one of the ones where, you know, the roster management GM and the coaching staff were like, look, these are the guys we want. And let's make sure we pay them well so we secure them, because it's a very empty kitchen.
And the thing to remember is these decisions, they're not made in a vacuum.
Nope.
They both are part of the overall decision. Okay. Where are we losing? Where can we gain? How do we net out there? Andy, that's the last word. Thank you, Andy. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.